All right. Welcome, kia ora, to another episode of The Podfathers, a Slam Diego Padres podcast. As usual, I am your co-host for tonight's show, Ryan Walls, here with Carlos Gutierrez. Carlos, how's it going, my friend?
It's going, man. The boys are back. It's been a month since the last pod, but we're here going to give you some updates. And now that we're getting closer and closer to the season, we're going to be pumping out more and more pods, keep you guys informed and give you guys some good pod content. That's why we are the Podfathers. So,
yeah, always a good play on words there. That's why we like the title. Credit Carlos with the title of our podcast, by the way. But yeah, getting close to spring training, getting close to pitchers and catchers reporting. I think we got a couple weeks whenever February rolls around. It's the second today that we're recording. You know that's the month that pitchers and catchers start reporting. So starting to get a little exciting. I know it's a little weird going on with the MLB and the Players Association and agreeing to terms on the season and whatnot, but they're expecting, the players are at least, to get rolling usual time and in your typical year. So that's good. But hey, while we were away for the last month, classic AJ Preller doing AJ Preller things and making moves.
Yeah. Pretty exciting stuff. I need baseball back in my life, so I'm happy to hear it's going to be back April 1st. I know they were talking about moving it a month. Didn't hate the idea. Also, just with how everything's been going on, I don't know if extending it a month really would have done a whole lot. If it would have guaranteed fans, then maybe I could have lived with it, but screw that. Baseball's back April 1st, pitchers and catchers reporting in 2 weeks. So we're back in business. Let's get right into it. So yeah, big trade. We thought we were done with starting pitching once we got you. But we trade for the hometown kid, Joe Musgrove. You want to give the details, Walls?
Yeah. So it was a three-team trade between the Padres, Mets, and Pirates. So basically how it went is we traded Joey Lucchesi, Hudson Head, David Bednar, Drake Fellows, and Omar Cruz to the Mets. In return, we got Joe Musgrove to the Pirates. And then simultaneously, the Mets traded David Bednar, Hudson Head, Drake Fellows, and Omar Cruz, who they just received from us, to the Pirates. So that's kind of how all that broke down. You know, kind of a like-for-like trade. We get Joe, they get Joey in the Mets and the Padres, and then the Pirates ended up with a lot of prospects from us. And then I think one prospect as well from the Mets that I think the last name was Ramirez. I want to say he was their 12th overall prospect in their thing. So the Pirates got a pretty good, you know, package for giving away Joe Musgrove.
Yeah.
What are your initial thoughts on that?
Initial thoughts. So for me, it was obviously, before I get really into it, I thought it was a perfect trade for the Mets. Like, come on, a guy named Lucchesi pitching in New York. He might as well be, you got that whole like mafia theme going on, Lucchesi family. Like, he was meant to pitch in New York City. But seriously, it was, I'm into it. I thought at very high level, when I started to look at their overall stats, I thought it was kind of a, maybe not head scratcher, but I really like Hudson Head. I was high on him. So I was really sad to see him go on top of giving up Lucchesi. I was okay to see Lucchesi go just with all the recent moves we've made. But I didn't know a whole lot about Musgrove other than him being their number one, which isn't saying a whole lot when the Pirates don't have like a crazy good rotation. And you just look at their overall stats and they're pretty comparable over the last 4 years. But once you start to kind of digest it a little and look a little closer, Preller has been really high on him, specifically last year. I think Walls, you mentioned before we spoke that he changed his mechanics up a bit.
Yeah, in 2019.
And you can see just a really good trend in all of the advanced stats. Just to name a few, exit velocity in the 93rd percentile, hard hit percentage in the 80th percentile, expected ERA, batting average, slugging, and opponent batting average, all above 80%. All the really advanced stats, he's in the upper quarter at a minimum, if not higher than that. And when you compare mm-hmm. that to Luke Casey, he's pretty middle of the pack, if not below that. I think we kind of saw his ceiling in the last couple of years. He had some pretty high expectations when he came up. Again, I don't know if that's saying a whole lot because we didn't really have a really strong rotation at the time, but mm-hmm. I think we saw what he had to offer. Hopefully he can kind of have a breakthrough and get better. I was a big fan of his. I think he had some pretty good stuff, but I like the move. I mean, there's a lot of upside, and it's not like we acquired Musgrove to be our 1-2 or even 3. He's an end of the mm-hmm. rotation guy with, on a lot of teams, he would be their 1, 2, or 3. But for us, he's our 4, maybe 5 pitcher with yeah, upside. Exactly. Like if he continues to pitch like this, he could have 1, 2, or 3 stuff. Like he might just barely be tapping into it. So mm-hmm. I like the move. It's aggressive. It's a little bit of a bet, but he had a great year last year. And I think the front office sees those trending statistics and they see those only continuing to grow. I mean, he's only what, 27 years old. I think he's just hitting his prime.
28, I think. Yeah.
28. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, if that's the case, that's a good ceiling. I'd rather go for that than what Luke Casey has had to offer over yeah. the last year. And even then, like, this is a guy that's going to go into the rotation. Whereas Luke Casey was like, I mean, maybe fringe, bullpen. Yeah. yeah. So mm-hmm. like fringe bullpen guy. I like the move. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, unlike all this Wall Street bets that's been going on, it's a low risk, high reward. So in the sense that, like you said, 4, maybe 5 starter, but your potential reward for him, like you said, is a 1, 2, or 3. I don't think he'll get to you numbers or even Snell. So, well, then again, probably not Lamet either. But with that being said, you know, 1, 2, or 3 for other teams. You mentioned it again previously. He was the number one for the Pirates and not saying a whole lot, but it just goes to show you that he could slot into that role in other teams in Major League Baseball. So I'd love the move, honestly. I would totally like to piggyback off your point too about we kind of saw everything from Joey, I think. I think a change of scenery will probably be good for him as well, just because so many things were shifting around him. Didn't have a good year last year. I was watching him in spring training last year before the whole shutdown. He looked just so off and something was up, and he's got such a funky delivery too. All it takes is a little thing to be messed up with that fundamentals, you know, of his, and it can totally throw him off. So I don't know if he's going to get back on track. I hope he does. You know, you always wish everyone well that leaves, but yeah, I don't know. I wasn't high on Luke Casey. I am much higher on Joe. And a lot of people, you know, on Twitter and everything, they're like, well, like you're saying, if you look at their basic numbers, they're, you know, they are kind of the same pitcher. And yep. just digging a little bit into it, Joe Musgrove, over 5 seasons, he had an career ERA of 4.33, Joey Lucchesi 4.21. Innings pitched, he's just under 500, Joey Lucchesi's just under 300. We have strikeouts 465 for Joe Musgrove and 308 for Joey Lucchesi. So a little bit higher there. And then whip for Joe Musgrove, 323. And Joey Lucchesi, what did I say? 323. He wouldn't be in the majors anymore. 123 and Joey Lucchesi, 128. So very comparable. The slight edge is to Lucchesi on a lot of those numbers. So you can yeah. see where that, you know, that conversation starts. But then going back to your point about the advanced metrics, I mean, Joe Musgrove is blowing a lot of those numbers out of the water.
Yeah. And I mean, ERA plus, exact same. So yeah, I understand mm-hmm. there's a lot of, I wouldn't say pushback, but people were like, we kind of gave up a decent amount for guys that look yeah. terrible. But when you really look into it, Musgrove's trending in the right direction on all the advanced stats. And I mean, he's filthy, man. I was watching a lot of his videos and his stuff is pretty darn nasty. So, yeah. I mean, I like the move a lot. I think we have him through this year and he's arbitration year three next year. And then he's a free agent in 2023, I believe. So again, a little bit of control there seems to be the trend with all of the trades that we've been making. It's not, it's win now, but win next year too. Only going to support our incredible rotation for next year even more. And I mean, it's every kid's dream to pitch for their hometown, you know?
Love
it's so cool. So cool. Like to be able to come home. I mean, there, I think you heard, we talked about this before, but there is an interview where he said that there is possibilities that his agent was telling him that San Diego might be a place for him. But once they signed you, he kind of thought that that was out of the picture. But he wanted to pitch here. I mean, it's the most exciting team in baseball and it's his hometown. The guy has SD tatted on his shoulder. Like he's,
that his grandma wasn't too happy about when he got it.
Yeah. And he's a dog. I mean, they talk about how much work he puts in and how much he loves the game. And I mean, he's going to put that much more effort doing it in front of his family, his friends, his city. He's going to want to put on for a sitting and win a championship here. So, it's pretty cool. I'm super stoked for him. I think I read somewhere that his dad's like a lifetime season ticket holder. Like this is a Padres family. And it's so exciting to have him back home and see him wear that brown and gold.
Yeah. And like how cool that he's joining too, like in 2021 and not 2017, you know, like that's pretty awesome. So, you know, we ship Greg Garcia out the door and then we bring in Joe. So, you know, at least we get a like for like switch with the San Diego roots, which is awesome.
That's,
like
you said, you always want to see. Greg walked so Joe could run. It's his time to flourish here in San Diego. It's going to be so fun to watch, dude. I'm super excited for it.
Yeah. And you know, if we didn't make those moves for Snell and you, then, and we did acquire Joe, you're looking at a number two starter, assuming Lamet's healthy. And then there's that added pressure, you know, coming home. He's got to perform for his family, for his friends that are coming to the game every single day, hopefully this year. And so having him, again, like we said, fourth, fifth starter kind of takes that pressure off a little bit, lets him do his thing, figure it out. And then you have Larry Rothschild teaching him the biz, I think the pitching coach. I think the signs are there that the potential for him having a great year is there. So, well, again, we'll keep track of him in spring training and when pitchers and catchers report, kind of see what the beat writers and everything are saying as well. Yep. But pretty exciting stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, great addition, man. So moving on to the next one. I'm gonna let you start with this one. I want to hear what your thoughts are, and then I'll give mine. I feel like I have a different take than most people had on this. So
gotcha. All right. Well, the news of signing Jerickson Profar to a 3-year, $21 million deal just came out last week. So he's owed $3.5 million this season, and then he has two player opt-outs at the end of the 2022 and 2023 season. And then there's a fourth year mutual option for $10 million. But the base of it is 3 years, $21 million, $7 million a year, if my math serves me correct there. I think that having him in the squad provides a spark. I think the chemistry was definitely kind of a premium that was put on there. I don't know if he would have got this same deal from another squad because of that. And I think they really saw that he gelled super well with Tatis and Machado and all those guys on the squad last year. And he had a really kick-ass year, to be honest. So I'm excited. It adds depth. I honestly thought he was not going to have a chance of being on the team again with the signing of Kim. But he provides that extra depth in the outfield, in the infield, all around, assuming there's a DH, He could fill in there a couple times, you know, so just another super utility. And there's a good chance that guys are going to get hurt and whatnot. So I personally like the move. I think it's a little pricey, but we were looking at Kike's deal that he got a couple days ago from the Red Sox. Same yearly rate, 2 years, $14 million. So not as long of a commitment. But I find it interesting that those opt-outs are in there for the player as well. So, you know, if he really does super well, exceeds expectations this year, he might opt out, get a better deal from somewhere else to play second base, you know, every day. But not the most exciting addition to me. But with that being said, I think he's going to be a crucial cog in this season. Like I said, with the chemistry he has, he's a switch hitter. We saw what he can do last year. Just looking at his stats really quick, he's got a great eye, which we noticed last year just from the eye test. But I think just looking at his advanced stats on Baseball Savant, MLB.com, by the way, is a fantastic website to find out the advanced metrics.
Great site. Great site.
His walk percentage is 30%, which is pretty good. But yeah, no, I mean, before I get, you know, super into the details of that, I like the signing. I think it's a good, you know, addition. If he was the backup to Cronenworth as opposed to Kim, I'd be happy with it. But yeah, what do you feel about this?
Everyone was really excited, at least it seemed, on Padres Twitter on this one. And I don't want to like come off as I wasn't. I like Profar. I did a full 180 on him last season. I think he had a great year. Was it an anomaly? I mean, when you look at his whole career, yeah, it was his best year to date in a 60-game season. So it's a small sample size. But he had a good year. I mean, he hit the ball well, especially towards the end of the season. I'm not a huge fan of his defense, but look, he's not going to be our everyday guy out there. He's a good utility player. And it's the name of the game, especially in today's age, is depth and being able to move guys around. And he is a great depth signing. And I thought with Kim, we weren't going to re-sign him, but I'm not mad at it. I thought $7 million was a lot. That was kind of my biggest thing I was not upset about, but just surprised that they would give a utility guy this much money. But then you see the Kike deal and it's essentially the same thing. And I would rather have Profar than Kike. He's a stud. He can play multiple positions. And like you said, we might have paid a little bit of a premium on culture, but the guy fits what we have. And it's so exciting to hear, like in his interview, how he said that he feels comfortable here. He knows everyone. They gel so well. It's a family. Like, he wanted to come back, and that's just a testament to the culture that AJ and all the guys that he's brought in have cultivated here. People want to come play for the Padres. And I saw somewhere also that I think the Red Sox who signed Kike were going after him, and he might have had a better offer somewhere, but he wanted to play in San Diego. You could see it. I mean, you could see it in his play last year and just him always smiling on the bench and dancing with Tatis and all the other guys. He was happy. He was loose. And I think that's a big reason as why he had such a good year. So overall, I was a little surprised at first. The money kind of jumped out at me, but I think it's worth it. If we want to go out there and contend and win World Series, we need this kind of depth, and we need to keep the clubhouse happy and keep loose, that culture going. I mean, it's like, I think we touched on it on another podcast, but when we shipped out Franmil Reyes a couple of years ago, not that we were going to win the World Series that year, but we were on a pretty good tear heading into the All-Star break. We ship him, who's the heart of the team, and it just felt like everything kind of went downhill from there. You don't want to do that. And I'm not saying that would have happened if we let Profar go, but you keep guys around like that that keep the clubhouse up and are willing to do whatever it takes to help the team win. And that's exactly what he does, and that's exactly what he committed to do. And you can hear it in his presser for this deal. So ultimately another good move. I mean, no complaints here, especially now that I've seen what Kike got. Like, it seems right now, you know. And I'm happy with the move, and he's going to contribute, and that's all you can really ask for.
Yeah, and just real quick, it wasn't his walks that were amazing last year. 30 percentile of walks isn't that great. It was his strikeouts. He was in the 92 percentile for strikeouts. So the eye for, you know, making that pitch count go up for that at bat, or putting the ball in play, that sort of stuff, he excelled at last year. And that's the culture shift that Preller was trying to get, especially starting last year. I mean, clearly wanted to start it when he came into office with, you know, Matt Kemp and all those, Derek Norris and all those guys we got in 15, 16. I can't remember exactly what year it was. But that was his thing. He said, we want to make tough outs like that, but he wanted that emphasis. And so for Profar to come in, especially if he's not going to be playing every day, to be in that 92 percentile of strikeouts, like that's pretty much all that you can ask for, especially if you're a pinch hitter as well. Like the most useless thing you can do as a pinch hitter is strike out. Yeah, you might as well throw a pitcher out there. So yeah. To see that, I think that would have been included into that, you know, premium for that contract. But like you said, the chemistry is huge. He gels super well. And, you know, for him, he's 27. He might think, geez, this Padre team is pretty damn good. Like, I'm not going to be starting every single day. But if I can, you know, get some playoff experience, if I could potentially get a ring, and then opt out and go elsewhere and get my, you know, get his chicken, get rolling with, you know, as the great Beast Mode said, you know, get to a team where he can play 162 or 150 or whatever it may be, then maybe that's kind of what he's thinking. And that's the whole concept of the opt outs in this current contract. But
yeah,
I like the move.
He's a switch hitter, which is awesome.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. And he's got a bunch of sauce, bunch of drip, a bunch of swag. Can't put a price on that. So, glad to have him back. It's going to be really fun. God, I can't wait for season, dude. Can't wait.
Please go to a game this year.
My goodness, dude. We need it.
Last game I went to was spring training last year in Arizona, obviously about 100 degrees, watching some, you know, single A guys hit. So I'm very much looking forward to seeing even Profar come up to the dish. I'll be super stoked. But
is you're sitting in your seat right now. Yep. What are you drinking and what are you eating?
Okay. Drinking an $18 beer, most likely, that probably spilled about a quarter on the way down the steps. Yeah, I usually go with a Sculpin or Pacifico at the game. Mm-hmm. Usually on that third base side is where I've had tickets before. And then one of my favorites, I mean, Cardiff Crack got a great, great little spot there. Another favorite that we used to get is Lucha Libre. Get a little burrito.
Yeah.
Wash it down with a little Mexican lager. What about you?
I like Lucha Libre, and my tickets are right by there, but I've never bought it at Petco for whatever reason. My go-tos are – I never get Board and Brew either, but I love Board and Brew. I'm probably going to have to change that up this season. Phil's, I've done it once. It's just too messy for me at the ballpark.
Yeah, that's very true.
My go-to are – these are like my staples. I'm basic, so I'll just go Pacifico, tall can. And then usually I'll either do the Cardiff Crack Nachos. There stands like right by my seats. Or if I want to avoid lines and I'm kind of hungry, I go up to the second level.
The Budweiser Lounge?
No.
You've been there?
No, I haven't.
You've never been to the Budweiser Lounge?
I don't think so.
In the Western Metal Supply Co. building, and they have some like pretty nice nachos there. It is like, I don't want to give it away. I mean, not that we have a ton of listeners, but to a bunch of people, it's so sick. There's like pool tables, full open bar, everything. Yeah.
Yeah. I got to get there. I usually just go nachos because it's right by my seats, or I'm a big fish and chips guy. So I'll go up to Brigantine level 2, like above where the members lounge is. Never a line. And their fish chips, really good. And you get pretty good bang for your buck. So those are my go-tos. And just thinking about it, my mouth is watering, dude. I wish I just was at the stadium. All right. enough of that. We're going to get too nostalgic here. Wallace, tell us about the international free agent signings.
Yeah, so including Kim Preller, right after shipping away, you know, those three or four to the Cubs and multitude of other ones to the Rays and whatnot, he has signed 10 international free agents this offseason, which I thought was extremely interesting. And it just goes to show that he is here to find that talent and replenish that system. Like right away, I mean, right after that Yu Darvish and Blake Snell deal, everyone was saying Padres farm system, you know, it's totally empty. Like they have no one. They sold everyone so that they can get like two, you know, older starting pitchers, blah, blah, blah. Okay, we signed 10 more international free agents. Oh, and by the way, we have 7 of the top 100 players on Baseball America's top 100 prospect list, which is number one in baseball. So clearly the liquidation of the farm system is farce. And obviously AJ Preller is the Don.
Yeah, I mean, that's just what he does. One of these 10 or a combination of these 10 that he just signed are who we're going to trade in a few years for the next Darvish. I'm very confident that that's going to happen. Like that's just what this guy does. And he deserved his promotion and his raise.
Yep.
I mean, I wish we gave him a lifetime extension, but yeah, for now, president of baseball ops and signed through 2026, we'll have to do, but I want this guy to be with the Padres until he decides to hang it up. He's going to have a statue here. It's going to be cemented when we win the World Series, but I'm really happy that they're locking him down. I thought he was already signed through like 2026 for some reason, but I'm glad to know that he is now.
Another 5 years at least. The front office loves him. The owners love him. I mean, when you reflect, seriously, if you were to tell me that we were getting Yu Darvish, Blake Snell, Joe Musgrove, and, you know, multitude of other little signings, and we were number one with the 7 players in the top 100 for prospects, I would not believe you, honestly. I don't know how he keeps doing it. And then, like we mentioned this in our last podcast too, but we kind of broke down that Cubs trade, the Yu Darvish trade, with the guys that we gave to the Cubs. It was the Cubs saying, hey, we really trust how you can scout guys. You're really good at picking out talent. So even though this guy's unproven and he's, you know, 17, 18, 19 years old, you obviously know what you're doing. We would like a piece of that. Thank you very much. So we gave up, you know, some, you know, nickels in our system that we have because our system is so deep that he's created, that right away, boom, 10 more international free agents, just like that. And he keeps recycling it. And like we said too, he's scout, you know, by birth, pretty much. That's what he did day one. And that's just in his blood. He loves the whole scouting routine, scouting process. And you could tell that's the basis of his general managing. But yeah, I thought that was very interesting that with all those, you know, prospects still in our system.
It's just crazy, like, what he's doing here. And it has the potential, if we can keep him around and ownership just stays bought in. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, yeah, they're spending more money, but they're going to make more money a competitive team like this. You know? And, I mean, it's scary. Like, I feel like the league should be honest. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but who wouldn't want to come play and live in on. And if they create a culture and a perennial contender, like we're going to contend for the next couple of years. But if he keeps doing what he's doing, he has the potential to change what baseball is in this city. Mm-hmm. And us being that small, the mid-market, a perennial team. I don't want to get ahead of myself, you know. But he's building a foundation, and it's pretty cool. And I just hope we hold on to him for as long as we can, because he's a stud.
I think
people are going to try to poach him at some point because what he's doing is bonkers and it makes no sense, but it's so awesome to have him here. Speaking of trades, I have another what if for you. Okay, let's say you're AJ Preller.
Yep.
All right. And the A's come to you. Not the A's, sorry, the Angels. And they say, we'll give you Mike Trout, but we want all seven top 100 players
in your you can system.
That's okay. Thank you.
I'll answer that question for you right now.
Yeah. Okay. There. Thank you. I saw someone float that around and people were like, I don't know. I was like, are you stupid? Could you imagine our team with Mike Trout? You guys will guarantee the World Series at that point.
Trent Grisham, love you to death.
Bye.
Let's just move him over to left or be a backup. Yeah right?
Yeah.
Well, and the reason I was so quick to answer that question is because my confidence lies with AJ to get another seven in there, you know? So it's like, it's a no-brainer. I mean, if you really break it down, $400 million contract on the books, plus Machado trying to sign Tatis, probably not smart. But that's just, you know, diving into the weeds a little bit too much. I would do that in a heartbeat. But anyways, that's pretty much all the moves that were made too. One minor move, we traded Greg Allen to the Yankees for pitcher James Reaves. So no more state boys on the squad, unfortunately. Got rid of France, replaced him with Greg Allen. So looking for maybe a Strasburg to come on over. That's pretty much all the transactions that took place. I know Kirby Yates, he signed with the Blue Jays, and it's so sad to see Kirby go. He was a huge fan favorite. Just loved his approach to the game and how he resurrected his career with the Padres, as so many players have done, i.e. Brad Hand, you know. To see him go hurt, but, you know, hopefully he does well in Toronto. And then the big one that's really – interesting to me still is Rosenthal. Apparently,
I know
he has an offer from the Blue Jays as well, and the Red Sox, I think, and also talking to the Padres. So I would really, really like if we could get Mr. Lolita back here in San Diego.
He wants to stay too. Like, I really hope that they can make it happen. We need, I mean, look, do we need him? I think it's a luxury. We have bullpen arms that can kind of slide in. And if there's one thing that's been a constant our whole lives as Padres fans is that we find a way to slide someone in that turns into an elite closer.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not super concerned about it, but I mean, I want him. You saw how effective he was last year. The guy is a great pitcher, and I would rather keep. Why am I blanking right now on
Pomeranz?
Yeah, I'd rather keep Palm out of the closer role. I think he's a great eight inning, seventh inning guy.
Yeah, Andrew Miller type.
Yeah, exactly. And I think we need to keep him in that role. Can he do a closer? Oh, absolutely. The guy's a great relief pitcher, but I want Rosenthal, and I think we have the money for it, and they need to get it done because he wants to stay. The guy was here for a couple months and he bought in and was such a
fan favorite
immediately. Like, the guy knows how to interact with fans, just seemed to really love San Diego and the people. And just like Profar, we need to find a way to keep guys around like that. He's a huge benefit to the team, and I really hope they find a way to get it done.
Yeah, I'm actually surprised that he hasn't been re-signed yet. There's so many other factors that go into it, you know, but that's one guy that I would really, really like to see hang around. He seems like a super cool presence in the
It might be wishful thinking, but I really think that's the reason he hasn't signed. I think he wants to make it work with the Padres, and I hope they do.
Yeah, same. Couldn't agree with you more on that one. But all right, last thing on the agenda for tonight's episode.
Drum roll.
Yeah, I can't. My mic not pick that up. But Fernando Tatis Jr. on the cover of MLB The Show.
Boom, baby.
Are you kidding me? When I saw that Gatorade Bolt 24 commercial, it was like 10 seconds, and I was so hyped. I was listening to the radio in the morning, Ben and Wood Show, and they played like that little clip, and I was like, oh, that was kind of a little bit of a letdown, but it's so sick that, like, it was on, like, he's a San Diego professional athlete that's getting so much recognition. And then he's the youngest guy to be on MLB The Show ever. Like, it is so, like, I cannot believe that we have him in our system still, you know, on our team.
Dude, it couldn't have been more perfect. And the cherry on top was the bat flip photo that they used for the cover. Dude, yes. That's been my, ever since I saw that home run and the photo of that bat flip, that's been my background on my phone for the last, like, I don't know, 8 months or whatever. So as soon as I saw that, I was like, oh my, dude, this is perfect. I'm a huge bat flip guy. Like, I think I watched the Jose Bautista bat flip against the Rangers once a week, because it just fires me up seeing that shit. So Monday morning, seeing that agenda. Be on the cover, that also on top of being the youngest guy ever to be on the cover, first bat flip on the cover of MLB The Show. Very true. So
very true.
It's incredible.
Game is changing.
We've talked about it, I think, every podcast, but he is a superstar, and if it wasn't official then, it's official now. You don't get on the cover without being one. And Mike Trout hasn't even been on the cover of MLB The Show. And this guy, the MLB has bought in, and we all knew it, but now it's official. He's the face of baseball, and I can't believe he's a San Diego Padre. They need to back up the Brinks truck and give him whatever he wants, because he is incredible. And I don't even have a PS4 anymore or a PS5, but I might just buy one just so I can. I might just buy the game. I think I might just buy the game and just like to have first the game. But I love The Show. That's why I used to have a PlayStation, was because when it was only
because of The Show.
Because when it was only played on Sony on the PlayStation, I literally bought it for that reason, because I wanted to play The Show. So I might have to do it again just because he's on the cover.
So I'm going to blow your mind, and he's changing the game so much that he is also making it available for Xbox as well.
There you go.
So there you go. But
athlete on Xbox.
Yep. For MLB The Show too.
There you go.
So, he's changing the game in so many different aspects, and you could tell that's what those marketing professionals are going for. Like, that Bolt 24 commercial was all about him, like, you know, rewriting the rules and whatnot. And then same with The Show, and they're rewriting the rules to where, you know, Microsoft's involved. So pretty cool. I thought that was awesome.
Let me be not devil's advocate, but maybe just the negative Nancy
Madden curse.
How do you feel about the whole them really leaning into the unwritten rule stuff? Do you like it? Do you love it? Do you whatever about it?
I'm always a true, you know, kind of originist in that sense, if that's even a word, to where you want to respect what's come before you, and you want to appreciate everything that's gone on to build up to that moment that you're in. But with that being said, I personally think that, you know, rules are meant to be broken. Records are meant to be broken. Stuff is meant to progress. So as long as you keep a little bit of old school and you mixed in with the new school, I'm totally fine with it. I don't want overkill to the point where, like, you're just absolutely just, you know, defacing kind of stuff and traditions and stuff that's happened in the past, because that's kind of what creates that identity, whether it's baseball or anything kind of in general. But with that being said, like, I'm all for a bat flip.
Don't get me wrong, like I said, bat flips, one of my favorite things about the game. I'm all for what the new age is, and it's awesome that the Padres are kind of at the forefront of it, and Fernando Tatis. I love the dancing. I love the celebrating. I love the flashiness. I think it adds such a fun and exciting part to the game. I was talking specifically more about the marketing around him, like on the Bolt commercial and the MLB thing, because I get it. Like, the conversation started when he hit a grand slam on a 3-0 pitch.
Yep.
I just wish marketing was a little more on him just being himself and having fun. I don't want the the unwritten rules thing to get too played out and just beat to death, you know? Like, it's cool. I'm all for that, but I can already see it getting old pretty soon. I just like that he is himself and he plays to have fun. I think it should be more about that. But that being said, I mean, it was an awesome video, and he's a superstar. That's all I can say about him. I'm so happy he's on my team.
Oh yeah. No, to break down your question like that. Yeah. It would get a little bit old, especially if like that's his like main source of content, because if that's his main source of content, then they got to be doing a better job, because he's doing stuff every single week, you know, that makes you just go, whoa. So not just unwritten rules. Maybe they'll show a clip of him tagging up on the Pirates occasionally.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. One of my favorite moments. But all right. Well, that was a pretty good lengthy episode actually for what's gone on the last month or so. Any closing remarks, sir?
No. Just continued good moves. Can't wait for the season. We're going to try to keep you guys updated. I think our next show will be once pitchers and catchers report, maybe a little spring training preview, what we expect to see, who we kind of want to see improve, maybe predictions for the opening day roster, pitching staff and whatnot. So stay tuned. We want to eventually maybe answer some questions. So if you like the podcast, engage with us on Twitter and reach out. I mean, we love Padres Twitter and talking Padres baseball. So give us a shout.
Yeah. And just to let you guys know, in case you're not following us on Twitter, we are at podfathers619. So shoot us questions, shoot us, you know, a review on iTunes, stay connected, you know, just interact. We love the interaction, like Carlos was saying. And it's been the stove has been hot in the off season. So I can't even imagine what it's going to be like come when we're actually seeing baseball day in and day out. So I'm super stoked for that. But yeah, again, find us on iTunes, Spotify, all major, you know, audio platforms.
And that's Podfathers with an A.
Yep. Good point. Like Padres, but get rid of the RES.
Yes, sir. We'll talk to you guys soon. Go Pods.
Yep, go Pods. Later, bro.